We're going to spend a few minutes in the Word together tonight, so let me ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark, this evening. Mark chapter 7. Before we go to prayer, we want to just focus in on another passage of Scripture that caught my attention during my personal quiet time this week, and I pray it'll be a challenge and a help to us all. It's a familiar text. It's not an odd one to us. I don't think it'll strike anybody as strange. You'll know these words. And yet I think it's a fitting one to return to, especially in light of some things we considered this last Sunday from our study of Genesis. So Mark chapter 7, I want to read from verse 14 down through verse 23 before we pray together tonight. Mark writes, "And he," Jesus, "called the people to him again and said to them, 'Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him? Sin enters into his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled.'" That was a parenthetical. "Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, 'What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." You know, I don't think that naturally we think like this. We are very prone to the sins of our original parents, who were very quick and very ready to give an excuse, a justification for the wrongs they had committed, right? God comes to Adam. "Adam, what have you done? This woman you gave me," right? "Why, the serpent. We're all really, really good at excuses. And what I find interesting is that as Jesus is teaching, he basically takes away all of our excuses. He says, you don't get to blame your circumstances. You don't get to blame your parents or your boss. You don't get to blame the traffic or the weather. It's not what's outside of you that makes you dirty on the inside. What defiles you is what's already inside of you. Your own heart, your own thoughts, your own desires, your own choices. In fact, simply put, two principles, I would call them foundational guiding principles, we find in this text are simply these. Number one, a person is not defiled by what is outside of them. We're not defiled by what's outside of us. This doesn't mean we don't need to be careful about our circumstances. It doesn't mean that we can't find ourselves influenced by friends and by family. It doesn't mean we don't need to guard our eye gates and ear gates and watch out for what we feed into our souls. Of course, all of those things are matters of wisdom. But we don't get to blame our choices, our words, our thoughts, our actions, our motives, our desires on the stuff around us. We are not defiled by what is outside of us. Second principle from the text is this: a person is defiled by what is already inside of them. Can we say it this way? You are your own worst problem. I am my own worst problem. And yet we think that that anger that erupts when somebody does something, they did that. It's their fault, right? They said, they acted, they cut me off, they took my thing, they stole what's mine, they have taken this country from us, they have. Wait a second, wait. What did Jesus just say? You're not defiled by them. I'm not defiled by them. But by myself, my reaction, my desire, my thoughts, my words, my wrath. This is what he's telling us. The people he's speaking to had taken the Old Testament dietary laws and had basically figured in their minds, if I don't eat certain things, then I'm not a bad person, right? If I don't eat certain foods that make me dirty, then I'm good. But if I eat that stuff's what makes me dirty on the inside. I'm not naturally dirty. I'm not naturally wrong. I'm not naturally angry. I'm not naturally murderous. No, but if I dirty myself with the wrong stuff, if I take it into my body and I eat that which defiles, then I'm a defiled person. They had so distanced themselves from what the Bible actually says about the heart of man. And Jesus basically gives them a biology lesson and says, hey, you eat that food and it goes into the body. It doesn't even touch the heart. It goes right through the intestinal system and it eventually evacuates from the body and it hasn't done one thing to your heart. Stop making excuses for your sin. That's what Jesus is saying. Stop making excuses. Stop arguing that what actually has dirtied your life is what's outside of you, what you've taken into you, what you've been influenced by, what you've bumped up against. We've talked about it before, but Jim Berg wisely talks about the circumstances, the situations, and the people of life as they are not what actually produces that within you. They're just the hot water that releases what's already in the tea bag. You dunk a tea bag in the water, the hot water doesn't produce what leaks into it, it just releases it. It just shows up. It's what brings it out. The thing is, we don't like that kind of language because it does take away my ability to justify myself, right? I don't have an excuse anymore for my reactions, for my words, for my thoughts, for my attitudes. Even though the Bible is telling us that we are our own worst problem, we tend to blame our issues, our personal issues, on everything and everyone around us rather than taking responsibility for and repenting of the bent towards sin that is within us. I just don't want to own my garbage. I don't want to own my attitudes. I don't want to own what's true about me. And the same is true for each of us. We're bent like this. Now think this through with me. I mentioned Sunday. I know there's something in us that wants to say, but, right? There's always this, but. We know about situations and circumstances and influences, and we want to be able to blame our situation, our sin on our situation. But friends, if one's purity or defilement is governed by his or her surroundings, let's follow the logic. If one's purity or defilement is governed by his or her surroundings, then Adam and Eve should never have fallen. The place they were was beautiful and bountiful and good. And still, they wanted more. Satan didn't have to do a lot of enticing, did he? Just had to whisper to stir up something within them. Don't you want to be like God? And He doesn't want you to be like Him. The problem wasn't outside of them. The problem was inside of them. The fact of the matter is that our hearts, just like the hearts of our original parents, are susceptible to the tempting siren call of selfishness and self-will. I want what I want, and I will do what I must. I will blame who I must. I will figure out a way to justify whatever I have to justify to get what I want out of life. That's why James tells us, where do wars and fightings come among the people of God? Do they not come even from your own lusts, your desires that are at war within you, he says. And this is why our sins come from within us rather than from outside of us. I know what I've just gone through with you is rather simplistic. We haven't really had to wrestle. In fact, I think it's why one of the reasons why Jesus kind of marvels at his own when they come into the house and Jesus says, don't you get this? Don't you see? Do you not understand this as well? It should just make sense to us. We know this, but everything in us is wired to excuse this, to explain this away, to make sure that we feel completely free of culpability or responsibility for the choices we make, for the words we say, for the attitudes we cop. You know, we just know it's not my fault. It's her. It's him. It's them. It's not me. And I want us to understand that when we spend the kind of time we spend thinking about ways to excuse ourselves and our sins, we belittle the Savior. We run from repentance. Does it strike you as surprising the list that our Lord names, things that come out of us? Evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and just plain old foolishness. It doesn't come from outside. It all comes from inside of us. In the light of all this, I found myself asking my own heart, I want to ask you tonight a question. Friend, who do you tend to blame when sin rears its ugly head in your life? Who do you blame? Oh, it's my parents, my upbringing. I just can't help it. It's this hair color. We're Irish, right? Who do you blame for your sin? It's my husband. It's my wife. It's my kids. It's my parents. It's my church. If they just cared more, then maybe I wouldn't. Oh, hold on. It's my boss. It's the government. It's my traffic. It's who do you blame? Who do I blame when we sin? And the fact of the matter is, whether or not we want to admit it even tonight, you and I can probably go back a matter of minutes or hours today. And we've already been doing this today. We've been doing it today. I have an attitude because I didn't like clouds today. It was cloudy and I wanted sunshine. That guy cut out in front of me and had no right to drive where I was driving. It wasn't my fault. He deserved my rage. In the last few hours, who have we been blaming for our sin? Back it up a few days. Or a few weeks. A few months, a few years. Pretty soon you've got a lifetime of habitual excusing. If we're not careful, rather than repenting of the things we have committed against the law of our God. And I just want to wrestle with this with you for a little bit tonight to think about it, because the fact of the matter is, this is the natural knee-jerk reaction of humanity, and we're part of humanity. In fact, Jesus was teaching and his own disciples didn't seem to understand this. Apparently they had something in them, this little check that was like, I don't even understand what you're saying, because that goes completely against what I've been taught my whole life by culture. They'd grown up in a Jewish culture that was used to saying, everything's outside of me. It's all the stuff out of me that makes me dirty, not the stuff in me. That was the religious tradition of the day. It's fascinating. You watch culturally now, nearly anything someone does that's wrong can now get a diagnosis. You're sick. You're not sinful. It's not your fault. It's somebody else. It's something else. It's not your heart. It's not your sin. It's someone or something else. This is what our culture strives and fights and screams and shouts to do at every turn. And if we're not careful, we're going to go right along with it. And just call that our version of Christianity. It's all justifiable. It's all excusable because it's really not me. It's what's outside of me that's making me do this, say this, think this. Who do you tend to blame when sin rears its ugly head in your life? Maybe we could follow up that up with this question. Where do you run? Where do you run when you falter, when you fail, when you fall back into some sin that you have battled for far longer than you'd like to admit? I mean, there are certain things the scriptures seem to call besetting sins. They stick with you. I mean, it's just, you just know, it's one of those things. You don't want to call it an old friend, but I mean, it is as familiar to you as anything. We've all got that pair of jeans or that pair of shoes that's finally broken in, and we're just comfortable in them, and we just know you put that on and you just feel at home. There are certain patterns of behavior that are forbidden by Scripture. There are certain things that we don't do that are commanded by Scripture, but the fact of the matter is, the habit is so normal, it feels like home. And so we excuse it. It's just how we did it in our home growing up.
You just understand. You got to understand. I mean, we're Americans. That's just what Americans do, right? Where do you run? Do you run for cover? Do you run behind the trees of the garden? Do you make yourself fig leaves again and cover it up and say, no, 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 it's not me. Look somewhere else because I'm not the one. Or do we find ourselves running toward the Savior? You wash me. You cleanse me. You forgive me. Where do you run? Where do I run? We fall back into some sin. So we go to prayer tonight. What I want us to do is I want us to pray as those who know that we are our own worst problem. I'm just telling you, I know what it feels like to run to prayer and to pray about all the problems out there because it feels like I am what I am because that is what that is, right? I think how I think because of them. I do what I do because of them. So if God would just fix them, then I would be okay. No, that is not what Jesus taught. And so often what we pray is, God, change my circumstances so I'll stop sinning. Not, God, forgive my own wretched heart that keeps going back like a dog to its vomit. We just keep saying, no, fix it out there and then I won't do what I do now. I won't think what I think. I won't say what I say. Just fix them and I'll be all right. Jesus is saying, no, your problem, my problem, it's not out there. It's not another. It's me. It's you. So can we pray tonight as those who understand what Jesus was teaching? And let's pray as those who trust that Christ is our sinless Savior. Tempted in all points, like as we are, yet, remember, without sin. He's a sympathetic high priest. He knows the temptation, yet he did not sin. And therefore, let's pray knowing that he is our sufficient substitute. We aren't made right with God because we had a good day or a good week or a good month or I've had a good decade, so I'm all right. No. We're brought near to God because of Jesus and Christ alone. And what he does by his grace and his word and his spirit is he keeps making us more and more and more like himself. That's the beauty of the process of sanctification. And yet so often we fail in sanctification. We resist sanctification because the Spirit convicts us and we say, no, it's not me, it's them. See what I'm saying? He's trying to change us and we say, no, I don't want to be changed because I'm not the problem. Jesus is saying, hey, own it. Saying it to me, saying it to you, own it. Your sin and mine doesn't come from outside. It comes from right here. You say what you think. You go after what you want. We have to ask ourselves the question, are we coming tonight to the throne of grace, seeking grace that we need? Are we praying that God would give grace to all the situations around us, then that would hopefully turn out to actually make us better? No, let's pray that he would show us. That's why we prayed tonight even in the song, search me, oh God, and know my heart today. Try me, oh Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be any wicked way in me. And cleanse me from every sin. set me free. Can we go to prayer tonight like that? This is the text that just kind of gripped my heart again this week. And I wanted to share it with you because I think we all know this. Like I said, this is not a new passage, but I think when we pause to meditate on it, it should really inform and practically speak to the last few hours we've had this afternoon. Like how have we been doing at this? I know what my own heart and mind does, and I'm assuming, and that can be dangerous sometimes, but I'm assuming tonight that if my heart wrestles with this with regularity, I'm not alone. I'm assuming this is a pretty common problem. If Jesus had to speak so plainly to it, I think we all would have to say, and I'm seeing the nodded heads like, yeah, you're right on. This is something we all need. So tonight, let's pray. Let's pray as those who own that reality. Let's pray prayers of repentance. Let's ask Him to do His work in us. Sure, work in the circumstances too. I'm not saying don't pray about the circumstances, but I think a lot of times much of the prayers we offer can be, if we're not careful, it can be cop-outs. Because I'm actually praying for God to fix them because that's actually my problem. I'm not my problem. And I think we need to pray tonight understanding the reality that we are our own worst problem. And by His grace, He needs to change us to be more like Him. Because at the end of the day, I am not responsible for others' actions against me. But I will give an account for how I react to their actions. Right? So by God's grace, then let's pray and let's seek His help. Let's repent of sin and let us let Him, by His grace, change us. Let's participate with Him in that process of sanctification. I just want to pray together like that tonight. All right? I'm going to go to prayer this evening.